Hey everyone, this is Bill Kenny, CEO and co-founder of Focus Lab and Odi. I'm back with another episode of The Debrief. As a reminder, The Debrief is a series where I sit down with past partners and we relive the rebrand experience. What it's truly like to go through a rebrand, from how do you know what agency to work with, the challenges of a project. Hint, there are always challenges, doesn't matter how good the project is. The wins, the unexpected wins that come during and after a rebrand, and ultimately what the experience is on the backside of the rebrand, what return people are seeing, and everything in between. The goal is to unpack as much of that so that you know, if you're considering a rebrand, what it's like, what it's actually like from the people that have gone through it. In today's episode, I'm sitting down with Ed. He is the CEO, and Natalie, she's the VP of finance of a company called FMA. Fabricators and Manufacturers Association. Now, let me be clear. I want to read this line for line. FMA unites thousands of metal fabrication and manufacturing professionals around a common purpose: to shape the future of their industry and in turn, shape the world. In this episode, I'm now speaking with somebody outside of what I would consider our normal rebrand bubble. Normally, it's B2B technology companies. FMA is very different from what we do, and therefore very interesting. A new type of conversation from a different lens of rebranding. This is a 50-year-old company in the industry I just mentioned. What is it like for a company like that to go through a rebrand with the amount of legacy and history and people and expectations around what that brand should be? So in this conversation with Ed and Natalie, we really break that down. It's such a valuable conversation. I have them go deep on topics like, how do you build the internal stakeholder team appropriately so that you can manage everybody's expectations and, hint, opinions? What it's like for a leader like Ed, who's been the CEO, I think he said 17 years now, to be a decision maker, but also accepting of and appreciative of other people's opinions, what it's like to work with a vendor and what they cared about and the vendor they were looking for. And then ultimately, it gave me the chills. I said it in the video, you'll see it. What was the most exciting and potentially unexpected benefit as a direct result of the rebrand? It's another fantastic conversation. I hope you enjoy. Ed and Natalie, welcome to the show. I'm really excited to chat with you. I say this in most of my episodes, so the viewers and listeners are probably getting tired of me saying this, but this is actually the first time that we're meeting. Even though we do these projects with awesome people, I don't always get to meet every client. For what it's worth, I rarely meet most clients. So it's really nice to sit down and chat with you. Great to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Great to meet you.
So I'm going to lead us through kind of this conversation of what it was like to go through the FMA work specifically. And I know we've kind of even done more work branching off of that, but we'll just focus on kind of that core branding project. But before I do that, can each of you maybe just take a second, introduce yourself, tell us what you do?
Ladies first.
Thanks. I'm Natalie Hefliger. I am the VP of Finance here at FMA. I've been here for 5 years now, and it was a great project to be a part of.
Udell, President and CEO of FMA. I've been here 17 years. And yes, this was a fun project that really was an extension of another project that we did with Focus Labs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just 17 years in just 5 years. Time flies, right? So let's start at the kind of the catalyst of how these projects begin, which is to ask the question, like, how did you even know that it was time to consider brand as an investment?
So for us, we did a project on brand awareness. We wanted to find out what we felt we already knew about our trade show, our magazine, our association, if it was right, if we were feeling about things the correct way. And out of that extension, what we really found out was that our foundation was this great asset that we should lead our story to market with, and that doing so really led to, okay, we have to reassess our mission and how we go to market. And through the process of reassessing that mission, we came to the conclusion that it seems like we're in the right opportunity to rebrand the organization. We were 51 years old at the time. Maybe every 50 years or so, it's probably not a bad thing to reassess and relook at how we look in the marketplace. And a great piece of information in the analysis that came back from the first project was, is that we looked exactly like every other association in the industry. We were lost in the term that came from Focus Labs was what was called a sea of sameness. And we were trapped in it. If you lined all the trade associations up side by side, we all used the same font. We all used the same color schemes. We just didn't look any different. And we realized we needed to break out of that. And that led us to the next steps. And that's my overview of it. And Natalie was part of the project. And anything you think is important to add?
I would say we were in the headspace for that kind of change. We had started a digital strategy and we're really thinking about how that would impact our organization. And one of the pillars for that was brand. And so we were starting to do some exciting exploring at that point. And then it was this process ended up really informing what we did in some of the other pillars related to that digital strategy. So it just all kind of came together at a really great time.
Yeah, I would praise you all for thinking in that way. It is not often that many organizations think in that way. Hey, we should actually come back to mission. What is our mission? Does our brand, visually, verbally, et cetera, still aligned to that? Or has it changed? Or are we just stuck in a sea of sameness? So props to you all for having that awareness. A lot of companies don't, quite honestly. And that's not shame on them. It's almost sad, right? So good for you for doing that. And Ed, I think what you were mentioning there, that early work, that research, if you will, was part of, we had engaged with you in just a discovery project first, right? Just to think and look. And then as a result of that, it was like, okay, actually there is work to do here. And again, props to you for engaging in that type of process. I think many people say, our website looks old, we need a new website. And what we like to say is like, no, that's a downstream symptom of a larger issue. You have to go all the way up the stream. At the top is brand, is the mission.
Yeah, I can remember Natalie was on the digital strategy project for us. And what's exciting about that is, you know, Natalie's the vice president of finance, and she had an energy and capacity to want to do more. And she was on the leadership team for that project. So the learning there I would offer to the audience is don't define things by roles, define things by competence, right? And now we certainly had that. But I remember when she came in with a team member to my office to present me the idea of, what do you think if we did this? And I wasn't sure what they thought they were going to get from me when they came into the office to present the idea. I'm curious what you thought I would say as part of that.
Well, you know, we were shooting for the stars. We came in with a PowerPoint and how we could roll out the new brand in about 9 months, which would have aligned with our large trade show FabTech, which we thought was the perfect platform for introducing to the world this exciting reinvented version of us. And I was afraid you were going to laugh at us because it was really ambitious what we were proposing. And you know, we kind of had discussed it a small group, but not really brought in the rest of senior management. And, you know, it takes a lot of focus for your organization. And so that meant putting other projects to the side that we wouldn't be able to get to. And so it was really important that I could convey to Ed why I thought it would be transformational and why it was worth putting aside other things we were working on.
Yeah, there you go. When I talk about it's hard to engage in a project like this, those are some of those steps, right? Someone in the organization needs to see the opportunity, be compelled to pitch it, and have a leader that is willing to say, I trust you. Those are not always that clean of a line that you just expressed, right? Oh, no, I don't think we need that. I actually think we should be doing this thing. Oh, shit. All right. Maybe in a couple of years, I'll bring the idea back. Again, props to you all for understanding and seeing that value. And obviously having the alignment and the type of culture it seems that you have to be able to do those things. Awesome. Awesome stuff. So, okay, you understand, you make the big pitch. Ed's like, let's do it. You're like, wow, I can't believe that he's that on board so fast. But then you have to find the right partner, which is also, I'm guessing, a daunting task. There's like thousands of different agencies. Sure, we all tote our unique positions and what we do, but there's a lot of people to sift through. So I'm not asking you, how did you find us necessarily, but like, what were you looking for in a partner?
Well, so it's a little unfair question from the standpoint of, or maybe my answer is unfair, not the question. We had already established a lot of trust with Focus Labs through the other process, right? So the core fact-finding mission and the way the information was returned to us put us in the position to say, we shouldn't stop here, right? That would have been, in the end, half a project. We just really felt comfortable based on the trust we had developed, the information we had, and we had a 9-month timeline because we really wanted to hit that mark in September. It made all the sense in the world to go to our event, reintroduce ourselves to the marketplace. Otherwise, we would have to wait another year from September. So we really felt in a good place to just say, let's keep going with these guys.
To find us in the first place, right? Pre the discovery project, you still had to figure out who's going to be our partner to do that portion. So yeah, it's like really trying to figure out from you all so other people can understand, these are the things you should look for in a partner. These are the things that actually maybe don't matter that some people think matter.
I would say just in choosing other, you know, vendors or just overall philosophy on choosing vendors, we're always looking for that trust factor, honesty, the ability to keep moving projects forward. We, by and large, have a teach us to fish kind of philosophy. We don't want to partner with someone for the rest of our lives. Show us what we need to know, teach us how to do it, and then we're going to move forward. And I would say that that did impact the decision to move forward with Focus Labs, is we felt like there was, you know, great communication. You guys pushed back where you needed to push back with us and make us really think and stop, not make the easy decisions. And, you know, they're like Ed had said, the trust piece is really important too. Have you invested in us? Do you understand us? We're a unique entity because we're really made up of four different ones. Mm-hmm. And so it can be, it takes a while for somebody to ramp up and understand who we are. And sometimes vendors don't really want to take that time and they want a shortcut, and you miss a whole lot of who we are if you aren't going to go down that road.
Yeah, I think what's important for us too is in our marketplace relationship, the way that our industry operates is very relationship centric. So we try to reflect that in the partners that we make on our supplier side and vendor partners and those people who are going to have a relationship with us. We don't want transactions. And that was very important to us in Focus Labs, is it's evident it wasn't going to be a transaction.
Yeah.
I'm happy you said that. We obviously hold that tight as a pillar in our company as well, right? We want everything to be about the customer experience. We talk about SAUCE a lot, which is an acronym we use, seek to achieve an unforgettable customer experience. And that happens through relationship and trust building and being a true partner, right? Same side of the table, not opposite side of the table, vendor, transactional. Interestingly, some people want just a transaction, and that can lead to us saying, we're not the right fit for you. We're almost going to be too connected to you and you don't want that. You just want us to just throw a thing over the fence. I just need a thing. And it's like, oh, we could do that, but it's so not us and we don't really want it to be that way. Values alignment is basically what we're hearing here. And yeah, I 100% agree. I'll save, this almost makes me want to share my team's praise for you all, but I'll save that to the end as we close out. So you find us, you go through the discovery, you're like, wow, these people feel like us. We are one and the same. We're working on this project. We're all bought in. So now we get into the project. These projects are not easy. I never even want to pretend like they're easy. Some are more complex and harder than others, but none are easy. So let's lead out with the first question in this section, which is, what was the most challenging aspect for each of you? It may have been different.
I would say the most challenging aspect for me was making sure that we had the key stakeholders all bought in. There's a lot of decisions to be made. You can get bogged down in the minutiae. You can have 12 people in a room debating a shade of a color, and you're missing the whole point of really what we're trying to accomplish. And so for me, overcoming that challenge, getting people to focus on really what the purpose, the big items of what we were trying to do, and have faith in the rest of the process that the other pieces would come together, was at times challenging to manage, but Focus Labs was a great partner with us. Yeah, I would say that was my biggest challenge.
For me, as the partners came in from our side, the idea of more change and having to be concerned about the internal change of things. Well, the logo has been great for 52 years. And, why do you want to make it that color? And that doesn't look right to me. Why would anybody want that particular color of Spark Gold? And we worked through all of those things on our end. It was more internal than external, right? You guys were driving the bus. We just had to make sure we had the people on the bus.
I'm really glad that's where you went with those answers. Everyone has different challenges within the project. Like I said, that is such an acute and challenging challenge, stupid statement. That is really that internal, like we got to get people bought in. We want to hear some opinions, but not all opinions. But ultimately, there's still a primary decision maker, even if it goes against the opinions. And how do you manage that change? That, quite honestly, is probably most often the make or break of a project's success, not colors and pixels. So why don't we try to maybe sit on that for a minute, because it is so important. Can you speak, maybe to put you on the spot, a little bit more tactically, so people listening can be like, oh, that's a thing they did, I'm going to do that.
You're more tactical than I am.
I would say upfront, defining a core group, having them be the ones that were in the weekly meetings, looking at the materials first, making some initial decisions to narrow down the scope of things, then bringing it out to a larger group. So you're not bringing 12 different things for somebody to look at. You've narrowed it down to 3. So then as we're starting to get feedback, it's less for everybody to digest. And I think then working through and then continuing to ripple it out as we had made more decisions and bringing people along at points where it was appropriate. So it wasn't at the end, all of a sudden we let all staff know, hey, here's everything we did, ta-da. We walked them through the process as we could to get that buy-in piece. Hey, this is something that we've decided and we're really excited about. Here's the new mission we're going to be rolling out. We did it from a core group, senior management, then our managers and directors, then, kind of all staff, really getting people excited and engaged as we went. I feel like that was helpful. And also ultimately that everybody knew at the end of the day, we had a leader that was in charge. Ed's, head and heart was in the right place for the organization. And if it had to come down to a decision, we weren't going to stalemate forever. Ed would take all of the feedback and then make a decision. I think it's really important that you have an ultimate leader on these things that is going to be decisive, not let the team get bogged down in things for a long time and continue moving forward.
Yeah, I'm going to go buy a billboard tomorrow and put that statement on it. Thank you. Go ahead, Ed.
I think about famously, Ronald Reagan had this great cabinet, right? And at the end of the day, he said, I still get to make the decision, right? Everybody gets to present their case. And we had a great core group. And it's hard for people. And sometimes I wanted to, my biases, et cetera, to keep that out of the process, right? Mm-hmm. Rely and trust on the folks on your team. Ultimately, it was a great products that came out of doing it that way. But I can remember one moment in an all staff meeting when we were sharing the work we had done, and then having, people started raising hands and having questions and having to say, the decision's been made. Mm-hmm. We're sharing the information with you. We want you to know about the process, but we're not changing anything. Right.
Yeah.
So just, gently but firmly say, get with it and be behind it. This is the right thing for our organization. All this work's gone into it. These people have made a lot of great decisions, but this is it. There's no more tuning it, changing it. This is it. And I think everybody ultimately just got on board with it.
Yeah, was that hard for you, Ed? Do you find yourself wanting to appease a group, or did you find that easy?
No, you got to make decisions, right? We had enough good input. The decisions were, we argued over small things in the end.
Yeah.
Just because everybody has a unique perspective. And that's okay, that's right? That's okay.
We wanted that, right?
Yeah.
And it helped us ultimately battle to the best decision. I'm sure there were times your creative folks are like, really?
That's the job we've signed up for what it's worth.
Right. But I just felt we did a good job on the front end of getting the right people there. We were transparent about the process for the whole company. We brought everybody along as best we could. And at the other end, we had a deadline. And I ultimately, the deadline being what it was, really helped us stay focused because we didn't have time to screw around.
Agreed.
Yeah, you've got an accountability measure looming over you the whole time, right?
That's something I would recommend to anybody going into this type of a project. Choose an end date so that you don't, let this stretch out and your team gets worn out. There's a fatigue that comes from all of this. There needs to be a goalpost. You need to have that for everybody to be looking to, even if it's, just the internal rollout for your team to get excited about, or, if you're doing it external, however you're going about it, have that date. Because I see how we could have let things drag further if we didn't have this pushing us along. And I think that our team would have been negatively impacted as a result.
Really glad you said that. And that fatigue comment is also very accurate, right? Like, you go through these projects, they're long. And at some point, the enjoyment of seeing a new thing, a new shiny thing, and dreaming about it starts to wear off. That's just the reality, right? It doesn't mean it's bad or it's broken. It's just kind of like, all right, I'm seeing this now for the 8th week in a row with tiny refinements and it's on new things. It's like, all right, I'm kind of like, I'm ready to go now. Like, are we done yet? And if you sit there and you mull over a shade difference on a yellow, I don't know if you did, that's not pointing a finger, but like at some point that also just puts you in a tailspin, right? What are we doing? Is that even going to matter at the end of the day? Props to you all for creating a structure in abiding by it, rolling it out in the appropriate way, which is staging it through the team at the appropriate steps. And again, to you, Ed, for saying, I'm going to call a shot. Not everybody needs to be happy. I asked you the question, like, were you okay with that? Were you comfortable with that? Because I do find that not everybody's comfortable with that. We see it in some projects. You can tell when the leader is not comfortable calling the final shot, it's left up in the air. Everyone's doing this thing, right? And it's like, oh boy, again, as strong as we try to be, I don't know that we can always save that. And we can't. We literally can't. Projects fail because of that. So I'm just going to keep praising you all. That's why I brought you here. I'm just going to praise you the whole time.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sure we weren't perfect on all of those things, but I feel like we did a good job.
You don't have to be perfect. Ducks marching in the same direction is where kind of like all of that corralling happens. And then the success rate is, let's call it 98%.
Just a final thought on Natalie's point about fatigue. Everybody still has a regular job to do. This is a project on top of that.
Yeah.
Let's keep it moving.
Yeah. Like, it's easy for me to say this is the most important thing your organization is going through at the moment it's going through it, right? Which is why we want what Natalie said about you, Ed. You were bought in, your heart and your soul was there, and you were going to stand behind it and present it as a really big company initiative. That's also not always the case, and therefore can get kind of lost in the mix. But having said how important I think it is, I recognize and understand a business still has to move. There's still customers it's serving, right? And challenges it's going through. Move it along. So we talked about the challenges. That was actually a really great stop and sit on that topic for a minute. Let's talk about maybe what was most rewarding or exciting in the project that you weren't expecting.
That's a good one. You want to go first this time?
So I would go to when we actually launched the brand at the trade show. For the first time, it was at McCormick Place, and there's a long set of escalators that you come up. and you arrive in the grand lobby and bam, there is our new booth, the new colors. And it just was so impactful. And as it was, where it was located, we were kind of on Association Row. And we were between two of the associations that we were previously lost in the sea of sameness with. We were not lost anywhere anymore. And just being like impressed by us, you know, I was impressed by us. And then the other part of that was how excited our team was to be in that booth at the show, to fly the new colors, to the impression that we made. We all felt so good about it. And the team felt so good about it. That was incredibly rewarding for me.
You gave me the chills. Yeah. The storytelling of coming up the escalator and seeing it, bam. Like, I can't not feel so flipping excited for you in that moment. Go ahead, Natalie.
That was fantastic. Yeah, I definitely would have gone with that one as well. I would also say I was not expecting our teams outside of that core group. And once we had the brand guidelines and we were starting to disseminate that information, watching their passion for bringing the brand to life, whether it's in a new brochure for an educational event or business cards or whatever it might be, to see how people got so excited about that thing that they got to own and be a part of designing and taking this, bringing it to life is the only way I can explain it. And I know we were excited as we were seeing what it could be, but then watching them actually do it was really rewarding.
Yeah, I love it when people share that, and it's going to be a good segue, but I'm not going to move us along too fast. I love it when people say that because there's this question of ROI, right? What's the ROI of an effort like this? I pay X, when am I going to see X plus back? When you say a comment, like both of you said, the feeling when you come up that escalator and you go, wow, we really are making an impact, and the rally that it creates in your team, how do you measure that? What's the dollar measure on that? Really hard to measure. It doesn't mean it's not impactful. What's the value of your team now saying, I'm proud and I want to wear this thing. I'm proud to work on these assets. And because of that, I do them faster and better. What's the value on that? It doesn't come back to the bank account dollar, but damn, it's so powerful. And that's another reason why these branding efforts are so valuable and why I'll continue to stand on my soapbox until I get kicked off it on like, you got to invest in brand. You're going to get your money back. I promise you. And you're going to get it back in ways that you can't even assume or imagine. Great examples. Thank you.
I would also add to that too, the storytelling aspect of it. We've talked a lot about the look and feel of things. But when I started with FMA 5 years ago, if someone had asked me, what does your company do? It was a long-winded, you know, 10-minute, let me explain to you, we're four different entities and we're all these things. I won't even get into all of that. Today, we have this concise message. Ed has worked on an elevator pitch with all of the different departments. So we're all saying, you know, this new story that we have. And we haven't changed what we're doing at all. But we finally have brought it all together in a meaningful way. And now really emphasizing what the foundation is doing and how if you're buying advertising dollars from us, you're investing back into the organization because part of that goes into our foundation. That storytelling that came all the way together was very rewarding. So I just wanted to add that piece.
Couldn't agree more. The other part of this is this project, was felt and worked on by everybody in the company in some way. Everybody contributed from the person in the mailroom to our buildings maintenance professional and HR department, because not only did we change our booth, we physically changed our building to match the new branding. We repainted walls. We put the new mission on the wall. We have an infographic that really has become synonymous with the rebranding effort that really tells our story in an infographic. Everybody in this organization contributed in some way to the ultimate launch of the brand. You can't measure that. Everybody just was in
Correct.
On it.
Correct.
It's hard to do It's rare that it happens.
Agreed.
You have different groups through the course of the year. Some are having success, others are struggling. This mm-hmm. wasn't the case. This everybody was in on this and was successful and had a piece in it.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the storytelling bit. I think brands easily, but often get lost in the sea of, it's a visual exercise. We look better. We stand out. But let's not forget all that discovery work, that early research work that you mentioned, right? Strategists working on that, all the writing work that brings that all together to make it a truly impactful, like holistic brand. So yeah, thank you for mentioning that. Again, it often gets overlooked. Next set of questions. Got a couple more questions. We've kind of already bridged into these questions though, which is, okay, you've been live now for, God, how long has it been? Y'all probably remember the date of that event.
September 20th of 23. So actually I'll say the 12th of September, 2023.
Okay. So not terribly long. Meaning sometimes I interview people, they've been launched 3-5 years. I come back around and chat with them. And really, let's not forget that the real true return of brand, the compounding effect, is 10 years out, right? It's all the things. It's this snowball that's rolling now. So you can't always kind of capture this ROI in the first 6-8 months-ish. But is there any other ROI that you're seeing already as a result of this effort?
So when I talk to members, they can very easily understand what the value of FMA is now, because we redid the mission work. We didn't just put a new coat of paint on things. We restructured from the ground up and we developed the storytelling capabilities. We have a tone that you helped us develop that's very important in how we go to market across all of our different things that we do. It's just things are very easily understood when we talk to members now. I find that exceptionally rewarding and the point of the whole thing anyways.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can clearly say what we do. Surely that's valuable.
Yes.
I would say, aside from the things we already touched on ROI-wise, there's an energy, there's an excitement, and we're seeing it in how people are approaching day-to-day projects and how we're, I think specifically like our social media team and their excitement about embracing the brand, getting that message out there. And it just feels like a reinvigoration of who we are. And that, can't measure that, but that's really exciting as well.
Yeah, people want to rally behind something, right? And I meant to say this earlier, going through a rebrand exercise or just branding from the start doesn't mean that the company is broken. Doesn't mean everything needs to be thrown out because it all doesn't work. It's just trying to redefine. Logos can change, colors can change, the mission can get redefined. That's only to propel the things that have been working in the organization for 50-something years, right? We're just bringing them forward to be more clear, maybe more accurate, if the brand has now positioned itself differently or not. So again, I just want to praise y'all for understanding that it was in an effort to take what is working and maybe what is not being expressed and to pull that forward, not just everything's broken. And therefore, coming back to the rally point, people are like, yeah, it's the new us. And now it really captures who we are in our energy. I want to run with this flag as opposed to just point at it and say, yeah, that's us over there.
Yeah. Not to sound philosophical or, give you CEO speak.
Please, please.
Something I think's important, and it's not measurable, but I think about the process, and while it was painful internally because everyone's doing their job and this is layered on top of it, it was exciting to do, but the people who were involved had the opportunity to rebrand an organization, to learn new skills, to then be at the end of that, have this set of experiences that makes them more valuable, whether they stay with us or not, right? The point is we want to be doing valuable, exciting work. We want our staffs to do valuable, exciting work. We want to give them the experiences. We had the opportunity to do that in this case. To expand those horizons. Those opportunities are rare, and I'm glad we grabbed onto it. It makes us a better organization.
Yeah, I'm really glad you said that. That has not been said ever on these interviews. I think that was a really wise, vulnerable statement for you to share, especially with a team member of yours here with you, right? Like these are the things we try to do here. We want people to feel like they can bring value and also capture value as being a team member here. A rebrand is a part of that, right? It forces us all to sit down and do a thing together. It probably happens more than every 50 years, maybe not in your industry. But again, it doesn't have to be broken in 10 years for you to do new things with the brand. It's building on top of it, not breaking it down. Okay, let's get us to the big home run swing here at the end. The final question. If you are sitting down with somebody, whether it be somebody in your industry, another founder, or just a friend, and they said, hey, I'm about to go through a rebrand exercise with insert name, what's the one thing you would tell them is the most important thing they need to know going into that?
Interesting.
I'll let you go first. The cheating way of saying I don't have an answer yet. I'm stalling.
I would say be open-minded would be the biggest piece of advice I would give, because I have got to tell you, we went in a different direction than I would have ever expected. And the outcome of it far exceeds any expectations I had. If someone would have told me at the very beginning of the process some of the decisions we would ultimately end up making, I would have laughed in their face. So I think being open and having faith in the process, having faith in your team, the partner that you chose, and just not going with the status quo too. If we had gone with the safe choices or the things that felt maybe closer to who we had been, we would definitely have not ended up with the same outcome. And there's a tendency to want to do that, right? Mm. You get an organization where we have very long tenured employees, where it's a compliment to the organization and how it's run, but people like what they like and they've been here a long time and they feel like it's working. And so to encourage people to just be open-minded and go with it, you might be surprised.
Hell of an answer. Good luck, Ed. Because yes to all of that. I love the open-minded point. Thank you, Natalie.
Yes, good luck to me, right? It was an excellent answer. Damn it. I would just say lean into it, right? Lean into the passion and excitement of the team that you put together. And if you do that and allow them to explore this and take, you know, go down this path, as Natalie said, the outcome was beyond our expectations and will continue to serve us for years to come. We're really in a great spot now, right? We have so much to look forward to. Our best days are in front of us because we have this great new mission, this platform that's easily understood. We look great in the marketplace. So lean into that excitement and passion of your team when they come to you with a PowerPoint and say, what do you think of this? And ultimately, the organization will be rewarded for that.
Yeah, I think that PowerPoint is going to have to be maybe printed the cover of that and like hang it on the wall as like a, you know, people in the office, they have the timeline of like these big catalysts that happen.
Yes.
Page one of that PowerPoint. Yeah, and then Natalie's picture going like, I never thought he was going to say yes to any of this. Thank you both for spending these 40 minutes with me. It was an absolute pleasure. It was great to meet you both for the first time. Now I'll share some of that love as we finish. I came out of a meeting this morning. I said, I'm recording an episode today. Ed and Natalie from FMA. And the people on that call were like, oh my God. They were the best client. We couldn't love them more. My people are genuine, right? They didn't need to say that. So I just wanted to express that back to you. I think our team just enjoyed the open-mindedness that you all had, the relationship that y'all cared about, and just the whole working dynamic was A+. We couldn't be happier to have helped you. We love you. We wish the best for you. We'll be celebrating you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's great to get that feedback.
Yeah, and the feeling was mutual. Working with your team was fantastic.
Till next time, maybe we'll loop back around in a couple of years. We'll see what's cooking, what's new with the brand. But until then, thank you both.
You're welcome. Thanks, Bill. Take care.